The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, Bonnie Ryan is a social media content creator, and she is one of the hosts, along with her sister Lottie, of the new podcast No One Else Will Listen. It's available on all platforms, wherever you get them, as they say, and it has been up and running for the last couple of months, since the middle of February. And I'm delighted to say that Bonnie joins me now from New York City. Bonnie, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much. Lovely intro. And it's so exciting to even hear the name of the podcast from somebody else. And hopefully there is other people listening to it and it's not just us.
Are you having fun making it?
Oh my gosh, we are honestly having the best time ever. I think that was one of the main things we said when we started it. We were like, we have full-time jobs as is. So if we're going to add something into the mix, it needs to be something that we're passionate about, but mainly that we really enjoy it and that it doesn't feel hard. And it has honestly been just a joy. We were going to only do 10 episodes for our first season, and we ended up going to 12 because we're just loving it so much. So we're having the best time doing it.
What was the genesis? How did you come up with the idea? Where was it born?
So I wanted to do a podcast for a few years, just what the world needed.
Everyone needs another podcast. Yeah.
There's room for everybody. That's what I say. So I've wanted to do one for a long time, but to be honest, nothing just clicked or felt 100% right. And I had moved away 2 years ago, and myself and my older sister, Lottie, we talk on FaceTime. It could be three times a day. It could be, you know, three times a week. But whenever we're chatting, I just felt like our conversations are conversations that I have with my best friends, that my best friends are having with their best friends. It was funny, relatable. Sometimes I needed to rant, sometimes she needed to cry. And I just was like, Lottie, we need to put this in a podcast. This is something that is relatable to everybody. And why not put it on a podcast? She was kind of like, oh, Bon, I don't know. I'm busy as is. She's a mom. She has a 3-year-old. So her life is chaotic enough. But I managed to twist her arm and she agreed to it. And thankfully, she's enjoying it as much as I am. So the first season has just gone incredible.
Are there issues that you would have been comfortable talking about on the phone to each other that you're not as comfortable doing in a podcast, knowing people are listening?
Do you know what? It's funny you say that, because I kind of thought, okay, you're going to tailor a podcast, obviously a little bit different to like giving everything away that you kind of talk about on your phone calls. But then even though we prep stuff beforehand, once we get on and we start recording the podcast, to be honest, everything just goes out the window and we just start yapping. And like, sometimes I even have to be like, are you sure you want to say that now? And she's like, oh, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, we've said it now. And the thing is, those are actually the best episodes that we do, are the ones where it's a lot more just off the cuff. And we are maybe having a little bit of a rant with each other, or, you know, helping each other out with certain things that are going on in our lives. So I think the more open you are, the more relatable it is, and the more people just feel like they're kind of listening in on our conversations. And that's exactly what we wanted. We wanted to be something like you're just on the phone with us.
Does Lottie, and I'm kind of asking you this question, and I appreciate that speaking on her behalf, but does she feel ever slightly more constrained in what she can say because she has an RTE hat? Now, she's not wearing it for the podcast. I mean, that's completely independent. But like, how conscious is she of that?
So I speak on behalf of her all of the time, whether she likes it or not. So I'm fine with that. But I think that this is definitely for her, I think, a way that she's like really getting her personality across. Obviously, like you say, when she's in her presenting role on the radio, you're a little bit more kind of, you know, put together. And sometimes you have to stick to a certain topic or a script or something, you know, a little bit more professional, let's just say. But I think once we get onto the podcast, like, she is 100% like the Lottie I know. And like, so many people are like, she's so funny and outgoing. And I think she probably does feel like on a podcast, she's even more herself and able to kind of talk more freely, and the way that we kind of talk just on the phone together. And I guess that's what's so lovely about a podcast is, you know, we're not constrained to anything. We can kind of say whatever we want. Like, obviously, even today, I know I'm on the radio. I know there's a lot of people listening. So I'm going to try my very best not to curse or say anything that's going to get anybody in trouble. But on a podcast, you know, you can be a little bit more free in what you're saying, I think, which is really nice.
So it's all very blue, basically, is the kind of advertisement for people listening.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, everybody is welcome. We have so funny, actually, a lot of my girlfriends were texting me today being like, are you on News Talk today? And I was just like, yeah, how did you know? And all their dads are texting them, telling them. So welcome, dads. And hopefully you enjoy the podcast too. Season one is streaming.
I don't know if I should be
everywhere.
Hurt by that or not, Bonnie, that I thought all these young women were listening
great.
To me. It's
You've
all their dads.
Wide, no, you've got a wide demographic is what I'm saying. This is great. There's also dads out there who might not be looking on my social media. So this is a great way for me to say you're all welcome and please come and eavesdrop. Well, Although my father-in-law doesn't want to listen anymore. He's like, Bonnie, this is TMI. I can't
all
hear
right,
these
okay.
things.
So. Well, you'll have to mention me now in your podcast as a cross-pollination. That's what we'll call
100%
it.
100% deal.
So, I mean, how much then are you enjoying having that... that connectivity with home, despite living in New York.
It's so important. And like, even just for anybody who has moved abroad, I think it's really important to just not make big deal out of your connection with people. Like, just pick up the phone, send your audio notes, like get on FaceTime with your best friends, your siblings. Don't wait until something big is happening in your life to like update people. I think the more you're just like sending your fun audio notes and things like that is the way I really keep in contact with everybody at home. So, and then getting to do the podcast with Lottie now, it's just an extra way that we're keeping in contact. Like, she does not blow her nose without me knowing about it now. Like, I am like, whether or not she likes it. But to be honest, I actually feel like since we've started it and prior, like over the last few months, we're the closest we've ever been. And I do think that a lot of it has to do with the podcast and the fact that, you know, we're on to each other so much. And like, she really is like my go-to person for like a good old rant or a cry or to flesh out something. So I think it's a really great way to keep in contact with people for sure.
Why did you move to the States?
That's a great question. I don't have like a very definitive answer. I think when I was growing up, all my friends did J1s and interrailing and, you know, went traveling, and I just never did it. And after I got married, I was very much a homebird. After I got married, I went on honeymoon for 6 weeks and I got bit by the travel bug. And I just thought, like, why not? When the opportunity came knocking, we were like, we may as well, you know, we can come home whenever we want. And we're just on a little bit of an adventure right now.
And how has the experience been?
There was definitely an adjustment period. I'm so close with my family. Like, we live in each other's pockets. So when I first moved away, that was very strange that like, I didn't know what was going on all the time with them. But we've worked on like really good communication, and I do feel like it's made me even more independent than I was. And just, it's a different experience. Like, I don't think I'm ever going to look back on my life and be like, I regret moving away for those 2 or 3 years. I think if you can do it, it's definitely something that people should do.
But it's a temporary thing in your mind, 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I do think so. Like, I haven't put an exact timestamp on it, but I love home. Like, I really am a home bird, and I love Ireland, and I love where I live in Ireland, and I love the people and the crack, and I come home so much as well anyway for work. Like, I am back and forth a lot, and there's just something about the feeling of home that I think you just don't get when you move away, even if you do feel settled. Now, I love it so much being away right now, but I'm sure there is going to come a day where I'm like, OK, I'm ready to go back now.
I mean, we're completely saturated in Donald Trump here. I'm looking at him in the corner of the studio here up on the TV screen. New York is kind of like, you know, a kind of a nation within a nation to a degree. Can you avoid him? Do you try and avoid like that aspect of US life at the moment, or is it all consuming there?
Do you know what? To be honest, it's not something that they really talk about too much. I think people are so divided on it. Like, obviously, it's all over the news, but I think that people here, especially in New York, are quite divided on it, on how they feel. So it's almost like you just don't really talk about it, because you could feel a certain way and you might think that they feel the same way as you, but they feel the complete opposite way. So yeah, obviously, like, it's a very mad time we're living in. And yeah, it's just kind of something that, like, it's a little bit of a taboo conversation to bring up, I guess.
Yeah, maybe that's handy. Maybe that's a relief.
Yeah, no, I'm like, look, I'll take it. Yeah. I don't want to talk about it. I'm like, keep me as far away, please. I don't want to get involved in this conversation.
Is it kind of, you know, when you talk about there kind of be moments maybe or things that you'd miss about being away, is it hard at certain times of the year? And I'm thinking kind of say the anniversary of the moment, because there's lots of coverage here of it, of your dad's passing away. 15 years. Yeah. It's hard to imagine it's that long.
I know. It really is, like, yeah, of course, times like that are more difficult. Like, I would have loved to have been with my family yesterday, but I've been on FaceTime to everybody and I celebrated it in my own way. But yeah, they're the times, I suppose, where, you know, you would like to be able to just kind of like jump into, I don't know, some sort of time machine and just be there really quickly. But yeah, no, the times like that can be difficult. And I, yeah, 15 years, I'm like, where did those years go is kind of shocking to me. Like, I was 17 when my dad passed away. So I'm 32 now, and it's like, I feel like I've blinked, but obviously so much in my life and in the world has changed since then. Mm. So yeah, it's a strange one. I also feel like, though, he could walk into the room right now and we would pick up just where we left off, but also I'm a different person today than I was then.
Yeah, not to get too deep, but there's this great George Orwell line about the photograph of himself on his mother's mantelpiece during his communion. And he says, you know, what have I got in common with that person? Nothing, except that I am that person. We are the exact same person. You know what I mean? Like, just the kind of changing changelessness that you might be different, but you know, you're still the same person.
I think that actually completely resonates with what I was just saying. It's like, yeah, we could totally pick up and be like, I know I'd be best friends with him as the person I've developed into today, but I am an adult now. Like, I was only a kid when it happened. So it is strange. And, but also I don't know any different, you know? So,
yeah. Well, listen, he's been well remembered over here, and there's lots of coverage of it. I guess it just shows it was one of those moments for everyone, which I guess must be maybe strange for you. I was talking about it earlier. I remember where I was. I was actually in Vancouver in Canada, and it was just smartphones had just come out, but they weren't, people didn't have them yet. And so somebody got a text from home, and then we all, the rest of us all texted home to ask whether it was true.
It was real.
And, and you know, so it was this kind of public moment, and it still is because there's so much coverage, and yet it's so intensely private for people as well, grief. And I just wonder what that's like for you, that it's kind of, it has this kind of dual aspect.
Yeah. And I think that's exactly what it is. It is a dual aspect. Like, I think I am very aware of how famous my dad was and also how loved he was. So, like, it's an outpouring of love from people who want to remember him and want to talk about him and wanted to be involved in celebrating his life. So yes, it was very difficult to have all eyes on you at a time when you're probably, you know, at the lowest of your life, but also it was, and like, it's also nice to know that he was so loved, and like that love then came onto our family. And I, you know, at the time, like, I really did feel like the country kind of wrapped their arms around us and like felt like we need to like look after you. And that's because his listeners and his fans really did love him so much. And we felt that when it happened, we really felt so much love from everybody. So although it's obviously very strange to have everybody know what's going on in your life, I do feel like, I'd feel like the country kind of looked after us. Like, they were there to support us and let us know what an impact he made on their lives as well, which is incredible. I feel so lucky that like that was my dad.
Yeah.
Like, he was somebody who made people feel so listened to, so seen. He made people laugh, and they really felt like they knew him. So like, they, it wasn't just like my dad who died, but like it was their friend who died. It was that person who they were listening to every morning in their kitchen. So, you know, I get it, and I understand why there is so much interest.
Yeah, I mean, I know we joked about it, but there's a man who absolutely would have had a podcast now, and it would have been wild.
Oh, yeah. I know, 100%. I actually talk about this sometimes. I'm like, I feel like if he was still around, he definitely would have had to just move into the podcast world, because I'm like, he couldn't have been stopped from saying whatever he wanted on the radio. And I'm like, and would he have gotten into trouble in this day and age? You know,
possibly. Eventually he would have.
I don't know. So maybe a podcast he would have moved into, but it would have been cool to see. But I know it would have been a smash hit anyway.
Well, No One Else Will Listen is the name of Bonnie's podcast, along with Lottie. And it's been running since the middle of February and still going strong. So listen, Bonnie, it's been a real pleasure. Thanks a million for chatting to us.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, Bonnie Ryan, their social media content creator, podcast host as well.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.